hey, my next guest is someone that I've known for quite some time. We don't get to talk enough. Sadly, now that we are talking, it's about something that that everyone is aware of, but should be made aware of, is that Absent Hamilton is closing down, has actually currently closed its doors for at least a month due to the lockdown, as we are now in the red zone of this whole COVID pandemic. Blake Lewis Prince is on the line with me right now. Hey, Blake.
Gunner.
Good.
What's shaking?
Everything, apparently. Everything.
No doubt.
Everything's shaking, apparently. So, yeah, I, like others, it wasn't a total shock for me to find out that you guys were going to shut it down for a little bit due to the new restrictions that are happening here in Hamilton. But what I found strange was that, and maybe I'm not grasping what Absent Hamilton is currently like, but you guys have actually started a GoFundMe campaign to help cover off expenses of the venue. What's it been like with running this club up to this point? Because I saw you guys had your patio open. It looked like there was some life coming into the place before the red zone. So what has it been like working at Absinthe?
So we opened under phase two regulations back in, I want to say, what was that, June?
Yeah.
And we were told that we could have, 50 people inside, 100 people on the patio. We had a unique loophole for us because our patio opens up to our stage, or I should say our stage opens up to our patio, and we were able to have live music. We'd have the performers inside and we'd have the crowd on the outside, and no patrons inside if we were going to have live music. So we definitely had some pretty great events surrounding those loopholes. We had John Harvey and the Inner Demons, which is John from Monster Truck's solo project. We had we had Levity Comedy Nights on Tuesdays, all staying within the regulations and keeping up to all the sanitization protocols and stuff. So
Sure. Yeah,
it's definitely a completely different world than what it was like before April. Was it April we shut down?
Yeah, March, yeah. April, everything started shutting down, yeah.
So we went from being, an almost 450 capacity venue with wall-to-wall people on Wednesday Motowns, you know, live music on the weekends, touring bands coming through, da-da-da.
Sure.
To us building tables and benches from scratch, because if you tried to go online finding any of those things, they were just jacked right up in price because people knew they could make a penny on them, especially for the bars and restaurants that would shut down. So
yeah.
We found ourselves in a unique situation, and we put our handyman skills to work. We built tables and chairs to accommodate the rules in which we were only allowed to open under. So yeah, we made the proper adjustments to accommodate. But it's been a struggle. It's been there's been big limitations the whole way through, and it's been difficult to say the least. But
right.
it's a different world right now. So.
It's just looking at it. I mean, you could just tell with some of the other clubs, like the Corktown. Jimmy over there said, "Okay, we're just going to shut down now for a little while until next summer." Because you're looking at the cost of keeping a venue open, to heat it, to light it, to all of those things that go with it. And I'm even over at the Casbah, they're relying on people buying merchandise to a point, to making donations, exactly. That sort of thing. So, but now you guys have a GoFundMe campaign that you guys need a little bit of help. And how much are you guys shooting for to make donations, and where are you at now?
So just with the thought of being shut down for 2 months minimum, with our rent, with the insurance, with hydro, everything that comes along with your monthly ends meet, we were just trying to cover our bases. So we set it at $25,000, which I think essentially would be what this venue would cost for being open for 2 months if there wasn't a COVID.
Right.
Well, even if there is a
yeah,
COVID,
because
rather.
These are the costs, to maintain.
These are the costs we're striving for. So we launched a campaign, which I believe if you were to look on GoFundMe, you can just search Save Club Absinthe.
Yeah.
And so we launched the campaign not even a week ago. It'll be a week tomorrow at 9 p.m. and we're almost nearing $7,000. So the support has been flattering, and to say the least. We've had, you know, counterparts reach out. We've had Dirty Nil do their thing. You know, so many bands that have graced the stage here who I think are starting to realize that with the St. Hollywood shutting down and Casbah maybe not being the desired metal stage or whatnot, that, you know, if we're going under, then, you know, bands are going to have a really hard time trying to find a stage to play in Hamilton.
It's the history of Club Absinthe, for some that don't know it, I mean, from my personal perspective, I got involved with the venue back in 2005 with C101. We launched the I Say Disco, You Say Punk Wednesday Live to Air nights there.
That's right.
And there was a whole bunch of us that were, and I bring this up because it's a conversation I just had with my friend Jamie Tennant over at CFMU and our buddy Lou Molinaro, formerly of the St. Hollywood. They've been
saying,
you know, hey, I got to talk to Blake and everything, and doing an interview. And I was just saying to them, it's like, you know, I'm a generation removed from what Club Absinthe is. Like, back in my day, it was, we did all of these things. We saw all these touring acts come through. We helped promoted it, and we built a scene together with the venues in town, and especially with Club Absinthe. Like, it was a lot of hard work back in the day with Birchall, you know. The crazy love of my life, Adam Birchall. But all the bands that have played through there and that participated and helped building something up, it was everything from the Arkells when they were Charlemagne, the CNC music festivals that the club was a part of. And then as we built up and we were going into 2000s and everything, there's like a generation, I'm removed from all, like, that's a lot of history of this venue. And to me, personally would be upset if, for some strange reason, this incubator of live music and a social scene and a community within Hamilton could possibly, like, could be jeopardized. Because it's just a lot of work, you know, a lot of history.
It's a devastating thought. Yeah, I mean, it's a historic spot for sure, to say the least. I think it's synonymous with Hamilton or vice versa.
Yeah. And, when we're talking about, like, the old, from the old
on King Street,
yeah, and transitioning into the new spot, right downtown on King William, and
well, that just goes to show the love for the venue in itself and the nights that we would provide, because we were literally turning down hundreds of people at the door on our King Street location on Wednesdays, and we're like, listen, we gotta give these people a bigger venue. So we ended up venturing out to Hess Village there, and we had Absinthe Lounge for a hot minute, for those of you who might remember.
I remember that, yeah.
And then we ended up purchasing the location on King William and made that our main focus. Yeah. It's been a roller coaster of a history. But
it's also any kid that came to go to school here in Hamilton, Ontario, over the last 10 years, 15 years even, is like, has graced the doors on a Wednesday or a Friday or a Saturday.
Exactly.
That drew people downtown. It was always the thing with certain students coming to town. They never got past Hess. But here's this economic driver in downtown Hamilton that's bringing more people to this location. So for some of us, it's like a nostalgia thing. But and to you, Blake, it's a livelihood in others. But I think it's important that this club is helped and maintained, because it's a piece of our history, and it would be a shame for it to down. I'm not sitting here blowing smoke up your ass or trying to be like this, you know, save everything about Hamilton and blah blah blah. But I mean, it's the actual facts. It's an economic driver in downtown. So
100%.
We need to support businesses in Hamilton of all ilks. But I mean, here's something that has always been there through thick and thin, through a lot of a lot of the arts and music and that. So it was a weird conversation to have with my friends, because like, we are kind of removed from all of it, but it still hurts us to see, you know, something that people work so hard on to be struggling at this time. So, okay.
And that's so nice to hear. I mean, somebody who's been a part from the beginning, such as yourself, and then to be kind of, detached from it for a little while, but to still acknowledge that it would be a major blow to the city that if it wasn't here anymore. And that means a lot. So thank you.
So the panel of people that you were working with at Absent Hamilton, if you guys shut down for 2 months, what is the best? How would you like to come into this? You know, okay, the bills get paid for 2 months. What is the next economic plan? What is your next feasible step? You know, like, do you have another year in you, or are you just playing this from month to month?
I'd like to say we have another year in us, but it's just with it's been a roller coaster of announcements and limitations and rules and lockdowns and red zones and yellow zones and gray zones and all this stuff. So it's hard to really say. But, you know, we're fighting right now. Like we're living month to month right now. We need to get back into the green, and we're far from that right now. So, there's things that need to be, we're spending this month off fixing things up DIY, and then the club things that need attention, to save a couple bucks. Luckily, there's a couple of handymen within the establishment. So we're doing those kinds of things. But then there's the bigger things, like bills and inventory and all the things that we need to prepare to be ready to open again when that happens in 20 whatever days, saying that there's not another extension of the red zone, or say we go into a full lockdown.
Right.
We just need to make sure we cover our bases so that we can be comfortable. I mean, realistically, we could be open right now, but with the 10 people capacity inside, 15 outside, nobody's going to want to brave the cold weather on the patio to have a couple drinks. We can't even pay our staff and chance that. So we decided taking the shutdown for the month and try to exhaust other resources until then. So we're fighting away, and we're fighting like it's like we're living month to month right now. But the support from everybody in the city has just been it's been overwhelming. We just really appreciate it.
I'm glad to hear that people are.
Yeah, and we also understand that everybody's hurting right now. We're not like, woe is me. Please, this is all about us. I mean, we completely understand that us, along with that many other businesses in the city, are hurting. Mm-hmm. Not with the city, the world. But it's devastating on all fronts. But all we can do is continue to try and to continue driving the fund into people, and hope that they can dig deep and help us see through this most recent shutdown.
Okay, folks, GoFundMe, check out Save Club Absinthe. If you can make a donation, great. Also, as part of their fundraising campaign, they're doing an incentive, a T-shirt that you guys are going to be putting a part of that.
Yeah, we're going to be throwing that up within the next hour, actually. It'll be on Bandcamp, which is another platform to sell merchandise and whatnot. I don't think the GoFundMe had an option for perks like Indiegogo would. But, so we're going to throw that up, and we'll make an announcement on our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all the above, to get the word around. And all the proceeds will, 100% of the proceeds will go into the campaign funds.
Excellent. Good job, buddy. And hang in there, and hopefully we keep those doors open, and there's a cure comes out in the next couple months, and all of us can breathe a little bit better, and we could all have a horrible, horrible PBR and Jager bomb, and I can look you in the face and go, I hate you. I hate all of you for making me.
I've never wanted that so bad before in my life.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to me, Blake.
Thanks, Gunnar. Nice talking to you.
And all I want is to meet alone. A little track from Navy there, What a Biddy Is. That one goes out to Blake Lewis Prince. Hey, go to Club Absinthe's website, check them out for their GoFundMe information. And if you can donate, donate. I know that you can also buy a limited run of a $35 black t-shirt. Help save Club Absinthe. Now, Foo Fighters. Oh, my God. Shame, Shame. Such a cool track. There's the new one that's coming out. So I'm going to put that in this set. A great track of acoustic Everlong. It was Dave Grohl in the band. It was nice enough to do some acoustic versions to help save some venues down in the States. Also, Let There Be Rock, their cover of AC/DC in Times Like These is another track that they did on SNL. Also in this hour, Debbie Spence from coming up later on, Hamilton Music Council, chats with us about how they are helping out Hamilton musicians and creatives here. Let's start it off. Foo Fighters, new track on Steel City Music, Shame, Shame. I dig it. Something real just to bother you. I
Once again, Foo Fighters.
Product placement and labels and A&R people and all that, it doesn't fucking matter. I swear to God, it doesn't matter.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
White man had the spouse. Black man had the blues. No one knew what he was gonna do, but Chekowski had the news. Let there be light. There was light. Let there be sound. There was sound. Let there be drums. There were drums. Let there be guitar. There was guitar. Wow! Let there be wow!
waited here for you ever long. Tonight I throw myself into, out of the red, out of the head, she sang. Good again. The only thing I'll ever ask of you, gotta promise not to stop when I say when. She said,
you're listening to Steel City Music, your host Gunner here. It's kind of this next guest is someone that I met once. Now, this was pre-COVID, and I said I'd love to have someone from the Hammond Music come up to the radio station at the Hawk and sit down and have a chat about the resources. And Debbie Spencer responded, and we met so long ago. We had such a great chat. And then I just kind of lost track. I mean, so much happened. It was like there were shows happening. There's been seminars. People have been utilizing them. And then COVID hit, as you know. And everyone's lives have gone completely crazy for all the creatives and people working within the industry trying to make sure that people still know that there are artists and creatives here in Hamilton that need support. On the line with me right now, welcome back to the show, Debbie Spence.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. I remember us, you and I sitting there, and I was, you were explaining everything to me about exactly what Hammond Music did. And I was like, oh, and cause you primarily work out of the Hammond Music and Film office, but you're in charge of the music department or that end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I work with, businesses and then creators, within creative industries. So film, music, and fashion.
Right. And, now, back, you've been terribly busy before COVID. What's it like now? What kind of feedback are you, or questions are you getting from the creatives here in Hamilton? What are their needs during COVID right now?
Yeah, so some questions have been around how we are transitioning and what kind of support that we're able to offer. And like most, we've moved a lot of our services to virtual. So we have offered things like, in the kind of downtime when musicians in particular are not able to perform, perhaps they have some, you know, quote unquote downtime to then develop their business. Maybe they're writing, maybe some marketing kind of pieces. Mm-hmm. So we kind of shifted over to virtual coaching. So we offered, after COVID hit, we offered free virtual coaching sessions, mentoring sessions through Canada's Music Incubator. So that was one of the things that we first kind of shifted into, because we wanted to provide that support for their business, but then also just to have someone to talk to as well during that initial time.
By offering that, what was some of the feedback that you got from people that actually engaged with you?
Yeah, so a lot of people were very appreciative of having that support and then being able to dig into things like marketing, things like songwriting. And they were also able to look at different applications for funding that came out. Mm-hmm. So they were able to grow their business. And then conversely, what was interesting is the staff at the Canadian Music Incubator, they found a lot of inspiration from the talent in Hamilton. So they kind of came back and shared to me, they're like, wow, these are incredibly resilient and talented individuals. So that was also really nice to hear from that perspective.
I ask this only because, you know, the lack of funds that are happening in places to play. A lot of people that are full-time musicians or creatives, there are no more, like, it's all kind of tapped out. There's no, you can't play. You haven't been able to do a lot of this stuff for a while. And some of them still, you know, they need funds to create their art. What do you guys advise them, and where do you direct them to as far as loans and grants?
Yeah, so there's, the city does have its city enrichment fund that funding envelope kind of closed for at least for the upcoming one in November. Yeah. And then there's obviously funding organizations like the province and then through to the places like Factor as well have some funding grants. And then we were fortunate that the Arts Council had a relief fund to work with artists in addition to musicians. So there has been some local relief and efforts that way. And then there's also available to musicians something called a Digital Main Street that provides a grant of, and that closes November 30th. But it provides grants of up to $2,500 regarding any marketing or online resources for businesses, but musicians are businesses. Mm-hmm. So there's those, and we share those different types of opportunities through our Hammond Music accounts on social media. So we're always sharing those opportunities on a regular basis because there's different deadlines for those funding applications and so on.
It's what you guys are doing now. You've been doing this for a little while now. I say a little while, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking more like 8 years, if not longer. And I remember when it initially got started up, it's gone through some changes in personnel. And with it, do you find that there's still people not utilizing the services that you guys have? Because to me, sometimes when I'm talking to you, when I do interviews, I'm talking to people, I go, well, have you heard of this? And I'm like, no, I've never approached them. And like, it's almost like a first time they're finding out about it. It's just like, well,
yeah, for sure. And I mean, there's always, you know, that need to kind of grow the people that are aware of the services that we do provide. One of the kind of benefits, if you will, in terms of going virtual is this year, we still held our musician conference, and we had like quadruple the number of people attend the conference, probably because it was more accessible and it was available online. And then we also recorded the sessions, and now they're available on our website. So more people, I think, in COVID, that's maybe one of the advantages of COVID is more people are finding us and finding the information and getting access to those resources that, like you said, they weren't aware about in the past, but now they are. So that's one of the things that we want to do is just increase those artists that have access and the awareness. And so things like being on your radio show and getting more people you know, aware of this is really important.
Well, I don't think it's just like doing my show because I do talk about it quite a bit on my show at different times. But I think it's I think more people in the media itself here in Hamilton should be talking a little bit more about it and sharing it on social media of, you know, because we're all, you know, with my show, I always play new music. I'm always interviewing people and talking to people, but I am a forum, a gateway of information. And this is why I have you on the air. So I think that more of us that don't play music should take a responsibility to help the people within this community of all arts, to let people know here's a place you can go to. Here's where you can get some advice. Here's some people, your contemporaries, that sort of thing. And the do's and don'ts and what they're doing in this current climate right now.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, last week I was on the Chamber of Commerce has a partnership with Cable 14, and they were featuring music and tourism industry. So myself and then also Tim Podesick and then Tricia LeClaire from the Hamilton Children's Choir were on talking about just this, and then the resources. So the more that we can get out there, and then actually Hamilton Economic Development, so their social media account, Hamilton Active, just launched this week. It's a feature on creative industries and increasing awareness of me as a resource for businesses and creatives. So again, we're trying to generate more promotion and more awareness out there in the community for people, because they aren't aware. And we want more people to be aware, to be able to take advantage of these resources and to grow their business.
Right. This next question, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to comment on this next question, but I'm going to bring it up anyway.
Yeah.
Mark Fuakala, I interviewed him a while back, and he's a great resource, and he's a longtime music champion here in Hamilton, Ontario. He's the owner of Dr. Disc. We had talked about the gathering of data and how when you have enough data as an economic generator here, and you can prove that with this data that it is bringing in jobs and it is circulating money in the economy, you can then put that forth and say, this is why you should invest in the arts. This is why we need a bigger budget, that sort of thing. Now, that all happened 2 years ago. And then with that, Mark and I have never discussed this again, given the fact that we had COVID now, and we've taken an economic turn. Everyone has, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But has that data ever been completed, and can that be used come 2021, 2022, if we have a nice, if all these vaccines work and everything, we look like we can move forward with the economy. Will that data still hold true?
So Mark actually sits on the Hamilton Music Advisory Team, we just released this year, actually, we had been working on live music venue research. So again, what's the economic impact? What's the GDP of our local music industry and sector? I'm actually been trying to get more eyes on this research because we did quite a bit of work on it, and venues provided their information locally. It's actually $58.1 million in total GDP from local venues and spaces. And in Hamilton, it employs or has employed 1,100 full-time workers, and our average wages for these careers are $44K. So we've got some really interesting stats on that. We shared some of it online. If you go to hamilton.ca / music, mm-hmm. and then just kind of scroll down, we have a section that's on live music venues. And actually be promoting that research as well on our Hamont Music account. So this weekend, we're now able to, like Mark was saying, we're actually able to demonstrate some real numbers and real dollars because we've invested in that research. And then that helps that business case and demonstrates to, you know, to the community those impacts.
Once again, where do we go to find out all the information? Because I know on the website you have a list of venues, music blog series that people can check out, loans and grants, which you are probably done fairly, should be closed off in November. There's a lot of things that people can check out on the website. What is the address for musicians and creatives to go to?
Yeah, so the best one is if you go to hamilton.ca / music, and then follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're Hamont Music, and then on Instagram we're Hamont _ music on Instagram. And we do, like I said, we share on a regular basis. And then I also invite musicians to tag us, because on those accounts we do profile, and our kind of focus is to profile emerging Hamilton artists. So if you've got a new release, a new video, tag us, and we promote that on those channels, because we really strongly believe, and it bears it out in the statistics, is that musicians are the core creators, and if we don't have musicians, we don't have the industry. And Hamilton is actually the seventh highest for the number of musicians per capita in the world. So it's pretty significant. So we are working on making sure that we're retaining and growing that talent base.
Thank you so much for taking the time this afternoon to have
no
a chat
problem.
With us. Thank you. Oh, and one more quick question so we can go out on it.
Sure.
Now, this is where I really put you on the spot, right?
Sure.
I'm kind of being a jerk about this. Tell me what Hamilton artist you're currently listening to so we can go out on it.
Oh, who I'm currently listening
to? Yeah, because remember, your role, you just talked about Hamilton music and all this other stuff. And then if I had to answer it and I would say something, I'm pretty sure a couple of the bands would be mad at me, but I'm not. It's not me, it's you. So there. So pick the artist you enjoy right now.
That's tough. I mean, there's Evangeline Lilly. Tara Lightfoot just has some new stuff. Dirty Nil has some new stuff coming out. Wes Gray had some new stuff. It's tough. Plus I've got a pretty diverse genre kind of base. But those would be the ones that initially come to mind.
I'm going to spin all that right now. Thanks a lot, Debbie.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay.
One more in the bin. Then I can say I've had my fill. I've got a lot of things to drink about, dream about, and run away from. I've got my job, I've got my goal, I've got the guaranteed destruction of this world. I got
twisted up inside.
You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM, broadcasting across Hamilton from the edge of the Niagara Escarpment.
You're listening to Steel City Music, your host Gunnar here. Let's kick off this hour with a little bit of country swing, the western swing, This Old Bar. I love this track, a tribute to bars closing to COVID.
Smokey played fiddle with his man.
Have faded, the ghosts are apart.
Spent a lot of years making music out on the road. But for the last more than 20, well, this old bar's been my home. I've had to outrun some hard times, but I never get too far. Yeah, I keep coming back to this old bar.